We're going to focus our show right now on organized labor and how it's dealing with the coronavirus. And joining me now is Bob Ryder. Bob is the president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. The CFL is the third largest central labor council of the AFL-CIO. It represents nearly 300 unions and labor organizations, representing over 500,000 union members in Chicago and Cook County. Bob, thank you so much for joining me on this Sunday.
Thanks, Rick. It's a little weird. You know, I've been on your show before, but I've been staring across the room at you, and, you know, but you sound close.
Well, good, good. I mean, it's a little weird for everybody these days, let's face it.
Yeah, no, it's really, you know, something that takes a lot of adjusting to, but, you know, what we're doing now hopefully will help flatten the curve and we can get back to being in a place where we can, you know, see each other face to face and communicate like we're used to.
We're all hoping for that, believe me, Bob. I was curious, and this kind of struck me as, you know, obviously we had the governor's stay at home order except for essential employees from around March 21st, I believe it was, and I guess do we have too many essential employees under those guidelines?
Yeah, no, it's a fair question. It's also a difficult question to answer. You know, the way our society is set up, the way work is set up is, you know, there's so many things that are interdependent on one another. You have construction related to food supply through upkeep of facilities. You have healthcare workers. It's not an easy system to design, I'm sure, in terms of trying to figure out who's essential and who's not. But I don't know if you've stopped in over at your headquarters, you know, the Tribune, and either, whether it's the Tribune or WGN, the two buildings aren't far apart from each other, and the, you know, Tribune offices are in the same building I'm in.
Right.
And, you know, it's a ghost town. It's literally a ghost town. So I do think that what we have in place now has definitely created a situation where people are apart from each other, and hopefully in a way where we can promote social distancing and stop the spread of the virus. You know, essential employees, and, you know, a lot of the essential employees that are out there working right now are members of, you know, the affiliate unions that I represent.
Right.
Postal clerks, letter carriers, truck drivers, grocery store clerks, and then the people that are, I mean, they're all first responders in some way, in my view. But then we also represent, you know, the doctors and nurses, and the LPNs and the service people at Cook County Hospital, nurses and service folks at many other hospitals like University of Chicago. We represent people at Northwestern and so many other safety net hospitals around Chicago. And these are the folks, you know, that are out there in the trenches, as it were, fighting for our health and safety.
And deserve our thanks, absolutely.
Rick, there's another group, too, I think, that deserves everybody's thanks as well, that have been affected by this crisis. You know, the trade show industry started to unwind at the end of February, beginning of March, and the amount of people that are that work in that industry, whether it's the hotel maids, the folks who build the trade show exhibits at McCormick Place, the people that are stagehands in our city's theaters, and these people all went to virtually 100% unemployment. And, you know, the thought behind that is, you know, as we start limiting gatherings, those industries need to scale back down and shut down. And all those folks are suffering economically, but they're doing it for the common good, as it were. And I think we need to take a lot of appreciation for that, and also keep that in mind for those of us who can continue to work, whether it be for home or other means, you know, the don't forget the people who lost their jobs in this crisis, so we could all promote social distancing and, you know, protect the health and safety of our greater society.
We're speaking to Bob Ryder. He's the president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. I'm Rick Pearson. You're listening to The Sunday Spin.
This is The Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin on this Sunday evening. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the WGN Skyline studio. Joining me on the phone is Bob Ryder. He's the president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. Bob, I was curious, you know, we touched on essential employees, but I mean, we are confronting issues like, you know, separation and wearing masks, those kinds of things. And, you know, some of these people that we obviously we know about the healthcare industry and what they're facing. But I'm curious, what about as far as social distancing and those kinds of protections on the job site of others who are deemed as essential employees?
No, that's an important question. I mean, workers are sacrificing for the city and this country, and all of us owe them a debt of gratitude. And one of the challenges that they face is being able to, you know, make sure that their health and safety is safeguarded. I mean, look at grocery store workers, pharmacists. You know, we represent all those folks. There's a lot of concern around making sure that they have the proper personal protective equipment, that there's hand sanitizer, that they have masks, because they're not. Say you go into a grocery store, right, and you're there for an hour. Well, you have exposure for yourself for that hour, but then you're going back home. These folks that are working these stores, they're exposed for their entire shift, right? And I think it's something that we have to make sure that people have in, you know, have the forefront of their mind. So, you know, we're seeing more practices at some of these stores where they're starting to separate customers. But when you pull up to the grocery store and you see the parking lot packed, just, you know, think to yourself, are you, you know, you're not just putting yourself at risk and you're not just putting the other customers at risk. You're putting everyone that works in that store at risk. So you see that parking lot crowded, you know, maybe look at coming back later. Those folks have, you know, they're taking people as they come, as they arrive in the door.
I mean, I've seen, obviously, at the grocery store, we're seeing more stores putting up kind of plastic dividers to separate the cashier from the customers and that kind of thing. But also in these stores, let's face it, sometimes you can't get 6 feet of separation to go down an aisle. And to have these store workers, I mean, are they getting the frontline support they need?
I mean, I think it varies by location. It varies by employer. I know that some of the employers have expressed their concern and wanting to, you know, put more things like you're talking about in terms of the separators. But at the same time, you know, I don't know that they're doing enough yet. We've had a lot of complaints around properly stocking with sanitizer for our pharmacists. And, you know, they're coming into contact potentially with people who may have a variety of different illnesses every day. And, you know, that in and of itself, aside from the coronavirus, can help compromise their immunity. Right, and then make them more susceptible to COVID-19.
So are we just kind of really, in all of this, like, you know, with everything else, are we just kind of writing the rules as we go here?
I mean, I think that the CDC's put out a lot of good guidelines. I know that in some of our workplaces that, you know, take construction sites, I know that there's a lot of contractors that are putting up, you know, making sure that the job sites are following the CDC guidelines. But this is something else that I want to say. If you're listening right now and you're a union worker anywhere in the city and you think that your employer isn't following guidelines or taking care of you on your job as an essential employee, you need to call your union and tell them, right? Don't put your health and safety in the hands of the employer. Put it in the hands of yourself and the people that are your voice on the job site. Rick, I think that there's a lot of people that mean well, both on both sides of the fence, you know, in terms of our workers and the employers. But my job is to make sure that the workers are protected and that they're given the proper PPE. So we're going to keep you know, elevating that, making sure that people are paying attention. You know, whether there's disagreement over who should be essential and who's not, I feel a responsibility to all of them that if they're out in the front lines for us, we need to make sure that they have the proper CDC guidelined equipment and protective gear to make sure that we keep them safe.
Well, and I think just the other day, Governor Pritzker kind of echoed what you were saying as far as if there are employers telling people who feel sick that they have to come into work, that they need to be reported for doing that.
Yeah, and I think right now, anyone who believes that their employer is going to come after them for showing up to, you know, because they don't come into work because they're sick or they don't feel well or because they're afraid that their employer won't take their fear of getting sick seriously, I think we need to take a look at those employers. And they're the ones who should have fear and shame, not the worker.
We mentioned about job sites and those kinds of things. What about as far as employers notifying people, these essential employees at various jobs, that their colleagues may have tested positive?
Well, I know of a few instances where that's happened and the employer has shut the job down, ordered deep cleaning of the work site, and before they cleared everyone to come back. And, you know, sometimes this, you know, it's even involved someone who had been exposed who was on multiple work sites, and all those work sites were closed. But I will tell you that I don't believe that that's likely to happen in every instance, and we need to be vigilant about holding people accountable, whether that's the top of the food chain or some intermediate supervisor. The workers of the city need to make sure that if they're out there helping to hold our society and our economy and our structure and our safety net together, that they also have the protections they should have.
But there is also a responsibility on the worker too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we would, you know, I'm the first one to say, if you're sick, stay home. I mean, I have people in my family who would be susceptible and vulnerable to this virus. I'm trying to do everything I can to protect my family members. I think everyone needs to share in that responsibility. And that's also why, you know, you look at all those workers who are now sitting at home because their industry is shut down and they're the most vulnerable economically, right? Some of these people are going to lose their health care if they haven't already lost it, right? And it's not something that could, a switch that could be flipped. Oh, I had health care through my employer, now I'm going to jump on the ACA. We need to do more for those people, whether it's going to Congress and asking for health care protections for those individuals or people who can work at home. Don't have your kids playing with the neighbor's kids, right? Don't think that you're somehow immune in your neighborhood and you can go have a party in someone's driveway. Be responsible. Whether you're sitting in your house or you're at work, be responsible. Let's slow this thing down. Let's not break our healthcare system and let's protect our frontline workers.
Well, and the reason I bring this up is a text message. Basically, some a laborer and some people tested positive, and they're probably afraid of losing their job, losing their paycheck, losing their insurance. They're still showing up at job sites.
Yeah, one of the things that we fought for here, both from Chicago with our elected leaders in Washington and Senator Durbin and all of our great people and Senator Duckworth and all of our great folks from the congressional delegation was to get direct payments to workers, to get that $600 added to unemployment. And in this next round, we're fighting to get COBRA protection. So if someone gets thrown off their health care, much like they did in 2000 during the housing crisis in 2008, that we supplement their COBRA payments so they can maintain their health care and take as much of that anxiety as away as possible.
Obviously, there's talk, even though we've gone phase three, which is you know, part of those expansion of unemployment benefits as well as direct payment to workers. What do you want to see besides maybe COBRA coverage for a phase four bill?
Well, I got to be honest with you. Since this started really ramping up in terms of focusing on federal legislation, you know, blowing past, you know, what the Trump administration was calling for and working with our elected leaders, the CFL has been focused almost completely on that healthcare piece. Mm-hmm. We are supporting and working on all the other things that have come along the way, like direct payment to workers. We were calling for that and working with our folks on paid leave benefits. But the thing that I learned in my career back during the housing crisis was how critical those COBRA payments were. And I don't know that people realize, you know, what can happen, especially for our folks on multi-employer healthcare funds. You know, their reserves right now are even threatened by how crazy the stock market's been. Being able to maintain that health insurance for, I don't know, you know, like, are we going to be in this thing for 12 months? You know, when are some of these industries going to come back? How long can people hold out on the health plan that they have right now? And do we want to see them get thrown off? So while we've been working on every other piece, our effort that we've been trying to lead on has been that healthcare piece. I continue myself and the rest of my team to have our eye on that ball.
That's Bob Ryder. He is president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. And Bob, like a lot of people, will be looking to see what kind of health care expansion coverage is included in any phase four legislation. Bob, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Rick. Thank you so much.